In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, dear fellow redeemed by the blood of Christ. It had to have been quite the scene when John was baptizing people by the Jordan River. It had to be a scene that was unlike any other scene in the history of the world. Just look at the way that St. Mark described it in the very beginning of our text. He describes an eccentric man, one who's dressed in camel skin, eating wild locusts and honey, speaking to anyone who would listen to him. He describes an eccentric message. One coming after me is going to be a whole lot more powerful than I am. He won't just baptize you with water. He'll baptize you with the Holy Spirit. But perhaps most of all, he describes eccentric people. For when the Judean countryside and all of Jerusalem went out to see John by the Jordan River, what were they doing? They were confessing their sins. Can you imagine standing by John at the Jordan River? Can you imagine what you would have heard as people admitted what they did in public, as they were admitting what they did in private? Can you imagine you would have heard people talk about the times they have harmed others, taken advantage of others, or times they were just flat out selfish? Can you imagine being by John at the Jordan River and hearing all these people confess their sins? It's why this had to be a scene unlike any other scene in the history of the world. But then the scene gets even more amazing, for as all these sinners are standing next to John, confessing their sins to him, being baptized by him by the Jordan River, all of a sudden Jesus of Nazareth appears. Jesus, who was born of a virgin, so he had no original sin. Jesus, who was worshipped by the shepherds and adored by the Magi at his birth. Jesus, who had never sinned once. Suddenly, he appears, and he's standing right there with all those sinners on the banks of the Jordan, all those sinners who were confessing their sins. And doesn't Jesus seem out of place there? For why is Jesus standing by John in the Jordan River awaiting to be baptized? He had no sins. He never sinned once, not in word, not in thought, not in deed. He never harmed anyone. He never took advantage of someone. He never was selfish. But at every single moment of his life, he always showed perfect love to all people, always being kind and compassionate, just as his Father commanded him to be. And so I ask again, why then is Jesus standing on the banks of the Jordan River with all these sinners? Unlike anyone else who was there, he was not confessing his sins, maybe even with tears, as he couldn't believe what he had done or that God would graciously forgive him. Jesus wasn't doing any of that. He had no sins. And yet there he is, standing at the Jordan River with all those sinners, demanding to be baptized by John. Why? Well, to answer that question, I think it's helpful for us to look at what happened when Jesus arose out of the waters of his baptism. It's a familiar sight. You probably all know it already, but sometimes it can be such a familiar sight that we just kind of gloss over it and don't pay attention to these details. These details are important. And so what happened when Jesus arose out of those waters? Well, really two things. First, heaven opened up. And the Spirit of God descended upon Jesus in the form of a dove. And second, the Father's voice boomed down upon Jesus saying, "You are my Son whom I love. I am well pleased with you." And by those two events, the Spirit descending upon Jesus and the Father's voice booming down over Jesus, by those two events, do you see why Jesus is standing in the presence of sinners, waiting to be baptized by John? For think about why the Spirit of God descended upon Jesus in the form of a dove. It wasn't to show the Trinity, though it's pretty neat that you have all three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, distinct from one another. Instead, the Spirit descended upon Jesus in the form of a dove to anoint Jesus, or to set Jesus apart, to do something that no one else in the history of the world could do. The Spirit descended upon Jesus in the form of a dove to anoint or set apart Jesus to be the Savior, to be the one who would take other people's sins on his shoulders and carry them to the cross so he could pay for them in full. No one else in the world could be anointed or set apart to be the Savior. How could they? They all had their own sins that they were carrying. Only Jesus of Nazareth, the one who never sinned once, the one who is perfect, only he could be set apart to take the sins of others on his shoulders and carry them to Calvary's cross. In fact, that's the whole reason why Jesus is being baptized. He's not being baptized to wash away his sins. He had no sins to wash away. But he's actually being baptized so that he can take on sin. He's being baptized so that he can become sin for you. For in those waters of baptism, he's picking up sin, your sin, my sin, and the sins of the whole world, so he can take those sins to the cross and pay for them in full. And if that's what Jesus is doing at his baptism, if he's taking on sin, well, then how could the Father's voice not boom down from heaven saying, "You're my Son whom I love. I'm well pleased with you." For ever since the fall into sin, ever since Adam and Eve ate that forbidden fruit, it had all been about this moment. This moment when God's Son would be revealed as the Savior of the world, the one who would take other people's sins on his shoulders and pay for them in full. This is what the Spirit is anointing Jesus to do. This is what the Father's voice is proclaiming about him. It's all about him taking on sin so that he can pay for them, pay the punishment that you would be unable to pay, the punishment by his death on Calvary's cross. That's why the Father's voice is booming down. He's making it clear to everyone who is there who this Jesus of Nazareth really is and what he was sent into the world to do. So do you see why Jesus got baptized? More than that, do you see why he got baptized in the presence of all these sinners on the banks of the Jordan River? His entire goal is to unite himself to sinners. That's what the Spirit's anointing him to do. It's what the Father's voice is proclaiming about him. He is uniting himself to sinners so that he can pay for sinners' sins. And if that's what Jesus is doing, uniting himself to sinners, that means your sins and my sins and the sins of anyone else in the world who are baptized into him, means all those sins have been paid for. They are completely and fully forgiven. After all, that's what St. Paul talks about in our second lesson from Romans, right? When he talks about our baptism. Listen again to what St. Paul said. He said, "Do you not know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him by baptism into his death. So that just as he was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too would also walk in a new life. For if we have been united with him in the likeness of his death, we will certainly also be united with him in the likeness of his resurrection." Those words are amazing. Because St. Paul is very clear. At your baptism, you, a sinner, were united to Jesus, your Savior. You were united to Jesus' death. You were united to Jesus' resurrection. For Jesus was present in the waters of those baptisms. Not only was he baptized in those same waters, but at the same time, he's the Word made flesh. So when the Word is connected to the water, of course the Word made flesh, Jesus Christ, is going to be present. And since Jesus Christ himself is present in the waters of baptism, that means when you were baptized, you were united to Christ. And when you, a sinner, were united to Christ, something amazing happened. Your sins, all your sins, including those that keep you up at night, those sins, they were all transferred off of you and transferred right to Jesus. You can maybe think of it this way. This is an analogy and it limps, but you can think of it this way. You've all taken a bath after you've been outside and gotten all muddy and dirty. And when you step out of the bathtub after getting all muddy and dirty, and you look back into the water of the tub, what do you see? It's brown. It's dirty, right? You see, the waters of a bath don't just cause the dirt to just poof, disappear into thin air. The waters of the bath take the dirt off of you so that it's not on you any longer, but the dirt is still there. It's sitting there in the water. Maybe you can think of baptism in those terms. Because when you were baptized, your sins were washed off of you. They didn't just poof, vanish into thin air, disappear as if they were never around, but they were washed off of you. They're not on you any longer, but you can think of them, again in this analogy, sitting there in their baptismal waters. And then what happened to those sins? Well, Jesus picked them up. Remember, he's present there in the waters of baptism, and he's present for one reason and one reason only. He's present in those waters so that he can take on your sin, all your sins, including the worst of the worst that plagues your mind with a guilty conscience. Jesus picked up every one of those sins and placed them on his shoulders so he could carry them to Calvary's cross. That's what St. Paul means when he says, when you were baptized into Christ's death. At your baptism, Christ's death became your death. Because at your baptism, your sins went to Christ so that when he died on the cross, it was your sins that he was paying for, your sins that were nailing it to the tree so that you don't have to pay for those sins. He did it for you. It's also why St. Paul says that when you're baptized, you're united to Christ's resurrection. Because at your baptism, Christ's resurrection became your resurrection as you were given a new life from Christ, a life that will last for all eternity, a life that allows you to abound in good works and to walk in that newness of life as you dwell on this earth. Yes, being united to Christ means that there was a trade between you and Christ. Christ took on your sins and you received his perfect life. That's what it means to be united to Christ. And that's why the entire reason of why Jesus was baptized was also that he could be united to sinners. He was baptized into sin so you could be baptized out of sin. He was baptized to be united to your sin so that you could be baptized to be united to his righteousness. Christ Jesus wants to unite himself to sinners because he knows it is the only way that he can free these sinners from the curse of sin and pay the price which they could not. Isn't it amazing that in baptism you are connected, united with Christ? And so, my dear Christian friends, when you are feeling guilty over a sin that you have committed, and we all have felt guilty before, but when you feel guilty, remember your baptism. Remember that that sin was taken off of you and was given to Jesus, and he went to the cross to pay for it in full. And when you are struggling with temptation, remember your baptism. Remember that you are joined together with Christ so you don't have to fight that temptation alone. You get to fight it with Christ and with his power. And maybe especially, when you are thinking about death and ready to leave this world, remember your baptism. Remember that you just didn't give your sins to Christ, but Christ gave to you his perfect life, a life that is stronger than death, a life that will last for all eternity. Yes, remember your baptism. Treasure your baptism. For your baptism is where you are united to Jesus Christ, your Savior. And if you are united to your Savior, Jesus Christ, that means you are someone who is saved. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. On this day that we're focusing on baptism, please rise as we have a remembrance of our baptisms.